ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्णा। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 14, entitled The Story of King Vena. Text number 21 till 23. Tam sarva loka amara yajna sangraham. Trayimayam dravyamayam tapomayam. यज्ञैर्विचित्रैर्यजतो भवायते राजन् स्वदेशान् अनुरोधुमर्हसि। तं सर्वलोकामरयज्ञसङ्ग्रहम् त्रयीमयं द्रव्यमयं तपोमयं यज्ञैर्विचित्रै यजतो भवायते राजन् स्वदेशाननुरोधुमर्हसि। तं सर्वलोकामरयज्ञसङ्ग्रहम् त्रयीमयं द्रव्यमयं तपोमयम् यज्ञैर्विचित्रै यजतो भवायते राजन् स्वदेशाननुरोधुमर्हसि। तं सर्वलोकामरयज्ञसङ्ग्रहम् त्रयीमयं द्रव्यमयं तपोमयम् यज्ञैर्विचित्रै यजतो भवायते राजन् स्वदेशाननुरोधुमर्हसि।
वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन। तम हिम सर्वलोका इन ऑल प्लैनेट्स अमरा with the predominating deities, yajna, sacrifices, sangraham, who accepts, trayimayam, the sum total of the three Vedas, dravyamayam, the owner of all paraphernalia, tapahmayam, the goal of all austerity, yajnaihi, by sacrifices, vichitraihi, various, yajataha, worshipping, bhavaya, for elevation, te, your, rajan, O king, swadeshan, your countrymen, anurodhum, to direct, arhasi, you ought. Dear King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, along with the predominating deities, is the enjoyer of the results of all sacrifices in all planets. The Supreme Lord is the sum total of the three Vedas, the owner of everything, and the ultimate goal of all austerity. Therefore, your countrymen should engage in performing various sacrifices for your elevation. Indeed, you should always direct them towards the offering of sacrifices. Who is speaking this? Brahmanas to King Vena. So now we'll continue the next verse, verse 22. Yatnena yushmad vishayed chadibhir vitamaya vitayamanena sura kalahare swishta sutushta pratisandhi vanchita tadhelanam narhasi veira cheshtitum. When all the brahmanas engage in performing sacrifices in your kingdom, all the demigods who are plenary expansions of the Lord will be very much satisfied by their activities and will give you your desired result. Therefore, O hero, do not stop the sacrificial performances. If you stop them, you will disrespect the demigods. Again, there is no purport. So verse 23. Vena uvacha balishapadayujyam va adharme dharmamaninah evrittidam padim hitva jaram padim upasate. King Vena replied, you are not at all experienced. It is very much regrettable that you are maintaining something which is not religious and are accepting it as religious. Indeed, I think you are giving up your real husband who maintains you and are searching after some paramour to worship. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. King Vena was so foolish that he accused the saintly sages of being inexperienced like small children. In other words, he was accusing them of not having perfect knowledge. In this way, he could reject their advice and make accusations against them, comparing them to a woman who does not care for her husband, who maintains her, but goes to satisfy a paramour who does not maintain her. The purpose of this simile is apparent. It is the duty of the Kshatriya to engage the Brahmanas in different types of religious activities, and the king is supposed to be the maintainer of the Brahmanas. If the Brahmanas do not worship the king, but instead go to the demigods, they are as polluted as unchaste women. Om Jnanatimiranthasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padagamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Rakunathanyutam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanyutamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kriba Sindhu Bhyevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Bhutair Mahadhir Yaima Puro Vibhu Nirmaya Shete Adamusha Purusha Bhungte Gunan Shodasha Shodashatmaka Soram Krishishta Bhagavan Vachamsime. Hare Krishna. In this episode, considering the welfare of the state and that of the king Vena, The Brahmanas are giving some advice for the elevation of everyone. So here we can see few verses in which the Brahmanas express their concern for everyone's well-being. And here the essential point that the Brahmanas are making is the sacrifices should never be stopped. When I was so mischievous that he was not allowing the Brahmanas to perform sacrifices to the Supreme Lord. Indeed, the same Brahmanas coronated Vena as a king. Still, after getting their benedictions, still King Vena was so foolish and so inexperienced that he forbade the Brahmanas in performing their religious duties. So here, Brahmanas are advising that ultimately all the sacrifices are meant for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And indeed, all the demigods are limbs of the Supreme Lord. So by offering oblations to the demigods, ultimately one is worshipping the Supreme Lord. So here, King Vena is so foolish that he is full of himself that he couldn't recognize the position of the demigods nor that of the Supreme Lord. So as we can see, King Vena is vehemently objecting to all the advices which are given by Brahmanas. So Vena is telling, it is really foolish for you sages to advise me. You are simply acting like paramours. A paramour is a wife who is unchaste is after a paramour. In the same way, you Brahmanas are after these demigods who are not really maintaining you. Rather, I am maintaining you. Yes, there is this Vedic statement that all the demigods are residing in the body of the king. And even the king is the representative of the Supreme Lord. These are all facts. Why the king is considered as the representative of all the demigods? Because all the material necessities for the citizens are given by the king. So in other words, whatever necessities they need are provided by the king. For example, currently in democratic system, there are many departments and there are different department heads, and they make sure that there is water in the country, there is food in the country, there is peace in the country. Whether it happens or not is a different question, but it is their duty. In the same way, in the universal management, demigods are providing everything and they are represented by the king, because on a practical scenario in a state, the king is maintaining all the citizens. However, King Vena took it to the extreme. He said, I am the demigods and indeed I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the foolishness of King Vena. No one can be the Supreme Lord and no one just can be the demigods. So that's why King Vena accuses the Brahmanas, wisely advised, that you are just like children who are inexperienced. So this is an interesting scenario where the wise people are advising and foolishly we are trying to reject. Does it sound familiar in our life? Indeed, it is there. Even in a material scenario itself, maybe elderly people, maybe father, maybe teacher may give some wise advice and out of foolishness we reject them. Okay, let's forget about our material life. Indeed, even in our devotional life, sometimes the spiritual master, sometimes the senior devotee, sometimes the authorities, they may give some good advice to us and we take it so casually. We think, what's the use of it? After all, we know this better than anyone else. So this is an anartha But indeed, we go through it. We go through it. I remember the story where one devotee was not at all getting up for Mangalarati. Some of you might have heard. This is a past, it's an interesting story. And the devotees advised him, please get up for Mangalarati. It is indeed required for your spiritual life. He kept going in this way and he was never getting up for Mangalarati. He said, it's too early for me. 4 o'clock is too early for me. Which is true for many people, especially without a devotional training, 4 o'clock in the morning is too early. Unless there is a, you know, World Cup, you know, football match or cricket match, then nothing is too early. Otherwise, it is too early. So this devotee, he decided to leave ashram because he didn't want to get up early in the morning. So he left the ashram and he was living outside. He was trying for a job because now you are out of the shelter of Krishna. Now you had to work and make money to maintain yourself. He was trying very hard to get a job. He wasn't getting any job. So he tried everything, still he wasn't getting any job. Finally, he got a job. What was that? Paper running. He was running paper. So he was a paper boy. So 4 o'clock, he had to get up 3:30 in the morning. Then he had to collect paper and he had to go around and distribute paper, newspaper. So Krishna actually teaches a lesson to everyone. We don't want to learn a lesson, Krishna will teach you a lesson. Another story, you might have heard the story of, again, a devotee became a bit mischievous and argumentative. What is that? Usually, in temples, you know, in Vedic culture, we don't use toilet papers, right? Okay, it's the council requirement, so we do have toilet papers, but otherwise, there is no toilet papers. So that is considered unclean. You had to wash with water, otherwise it's considered unclean. And indeed, we take bath also. That is a kind of cleanliness that we follow. So this devotee was very much against this. He was complaining all the time that there is no toilet paper. And indeed, he left the ashram because of this reason. Hare Krishna. Then, again, he had to work a job. He found a job. He started working. He was working in a warehouse, big warehouse. And he was working there, working there, working there. One day, he found himself that some stock of some goods fell on him and he was completely encircled by this good stuff. So he was looking, what is that? He saw that on his head, on his front, back, side, everywhere, there were toilet papers, toilet rolls. So he was stuck. Then he started thinking, looks like Krishna is having some fun with me. Krishna wants me to learn a lesson. So even though this sounds funny and these are real stories, the reality is that Krishna put us in a situation where we have to learn. Sometimes devotees make such kind of decision that, okay, this temple is not working for me, or this community is not working for me, so that I have to leave. Indeed, people leave the community, but you cannot leave your mind. Can you leave your mind? Okay, can I leave my mind and go away from here? No, that's not possible. You are carrying your mind, you are carrying your consciousness, and you are carrying your good and bad things. Anarthas also you are carrying. Then what happens? Go somewhere and Krishna will put you in the same situation. Then one has to confront with the same situation. And then, out of mercy of Krishna, one gets this realization that by changing the externals, I am not going to get purified. I have to work wherever I am. One devotee, he was in one room, you know. And he was staying with devotees and he was in one room and he was complaining all the time. You know, this is not working, this is happening, that's happening, he's not speaking properly, this, that, so many complaints. Then, okay, he changed the room, went somewhere else. Again with other devotees, again the same problem. When it happened couple of times, if something happened one or two times, then devotees realize. But some people even more than 2, 3, 4 times, then one come to the conclusion, actually, Krishna is teaching me a lesson, I have to change myself. It's not that I can change the externals. So this is the devotional principle. Sthane sthita shruti gatam tanivan manopir. ye prayaso ajita jidopyasi taistrilokyam in the 14th chapter of 10th canto brahma lord brahma prays sthane sthita it is referring to ashram also whichever ashram if one is not peaceful in one ashram probably one has to see whether it is suitable one should stick to that ashram one doesn't have to just change the ashram sthane sthita shrutigatam one doesn't have to change the place unnecessarily see where the problem is and address the problem then one can be peaceful because the enemy is within enemy is not outside so if we work on the internal situation then one can be happy one can be happy in krishna consciousness I heard some devotees even some brahmacharis they are traveling from one temple to another temple not for preaching not for preaching yeah preaching may be an external reason but the internal reason is one is not peaceful the place where they are in and then what happens after some time they come to a position that they cannot stay in any temple they have problem with any authorities any situation they want to be independent so this is the problem within rather if we address the problem within then we can go deeper in devotion life the reality is that krishna has placed us in this situation with whatever good we have or whatever bad we have internally or externally at this point in time is the best situation for us to make progress this is the best situation for us to make progress so if you want to make progress we have to see internally are we good at controlling our mind and senses how is our sadhana so that is looking internally Hiranyakashipu he conquered all three worlds practically probably he left brahmaloka because that is far beyond his reach of course he couldn't reach kailasa but he conquered all the three worlds all the demigods were just ready to serve him anything at his beck and call everyone indra chandra varuna vayu even the seasons were changing according to his order even the earth mother earth was providing everything even though there were no sacrifices being performed still he couldn't control one thing what was that he couldn't control his own senses and his mind that he couldn't control he could control everything but he couldn't control his own senses and mind so that is the point one will never be satisfied by perceiving anything externally one has to go deeper in fact it is mentioned that even the sages were under the sway of Hiranyakashipu Bhrigumuni great sage he had to glorify Hiranyakashipu even Narada Muni had to glorify Hiranyakashipu can you imagine the worldly affair at that point in time even Narada Muni had to glorify Hiranyakashipu of course he was not obliged but he was enacting the pastime still did Hiranyakashipu get any satisfaction no he was completely dissatisfied here we can see the same situation with Vena he had the entire kingdom still he was not satisfied his cruelty was going on and on this is the demoniac mentality what is the demoniac mentality further Vena is going to tell that I am the supreme personality of Godhead Ishwaroham aham bhogi Ishwaroham aham bhogi siddhoham balavan sukhi this is the demoniac mentality if we explain we find it is very common in this world okay Ishwaroham I am the lord I am the master I am the supreme Ishwaroham aham bhogi I am the enjoyer now I have some wealth in future my wealth is going to increase these people are my enemies I am going to kill them if anyone is going to come against me I am going to kill them Ishwaroham aham bhogi siddhoham I am perfect balavan I have strength sukhi I will enjoy the world like anything so this is the demoniac mentality this is the motto of the modern civilization this is nothing new you go out and see everyone is thinking I am the ishwara everyone is meant to serve me I am meant to be enjoyed Right? Siddhoham, I am already perfect. And later, I have a lot of money and I'll give some charity. Some people are suffering, I will throw some charity, no problem. But still, everything is meant for my enjoyment. This is the demoniac mentality. And demoniac mentality is that one differentiates between friends and enemies. This is a problem. We may think in our devotional life, we had to be very careful. Are we differentiating people as, even devotees, forget about outside people, devotees as friends and enemies? These devotees, my friends. These devotees, my enemies. I will try to support my friends and I'll try to oppress my enemies. This is called diplomacy, politics and diplomacy. So this is an anartha. So materialistic mentality means diplomacy, materialistic mentality means politics, friends and enemies. So devotees, as devotees we have to see. Are we seeing people as friends and enemies, or are we seeing everyone as our friends? This is a challenge. We had to see how, even if somebody is not behaving properly to us, still we had to see them as our friends. We had to see how they are helping us to make our spiritual advancement. Bhakti Rasayana Sagar Maharaj is giving the whole class about the conflict, life without conflict. So he was talking about the conflicts within. Okay, external things can be a reason, but the real conflicts are within. And if we address the real conflicts, then we see that there are no enemies. There are only friends. You cannot see enemy. That's why devotees are known as Ajata Shatrava. Ajata Shatrava means there is no enemy for a devotee. Yudhishthira Maharaj is addressed as Ajata Shatru. There is no enemy for such pure devotees. And if we have this demoniac mentality, the enjoying propensity as we can see in this world, what is the result? What is the result? People out in this world, everyone wants to enjoy. Everyone wants to think that the whole thing is for my enjoyment. What is the end result? Sorry? Suffering in terms of starting from stress and anxiety. If you think we are the enjoyer, the immediate consequence is stress and anxiety. So you see, everywhere there is stress and anxiety. If we have any event or any program to help with stress or anxiety, lot of people come. A lot of people come because people are stressful. When we have some kirtan night or something, we see people just come and sit and they say, you know, I really want to forget whatever happened during the day. Which is good. Which is very good. This is the condition of the affair, because everyone wants to enjoy. As a consequence, there is stress and anxiety. And the more one wants to enjoy, and the more one thinks one is the enjoyer, the more one is stressed out. And the more one is depressed even. Hiranyakashipu, how much anxiety he had, right? When the child told, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam, you know, immediately he threw his own son. Then what happened? He even wanted to kill his own son. How much insecure Hiranyakashipu felt. Think about it. All the tyrants, they live in fear. They live in great anxiety. We cannot think about our anxiety. Whatever anxiety or stress we have, you multiply hundreds and hundreds of times, that is the anxiety of a dictator, a tyrant. So much of anxiety, because he wants to control everything, which is not possible. And as one controls, one creates so many enemies, and one's own life is at stake, and there is so much of anxiety. This Chinese leader, Chancellor Mao Zedong, he was in so much of anxiety, and because he was controlling the entire nation, you know, millions and millions upon people, and he had some diseases and no one exactly knew what disease was, and any doctor would go to him to diagnose or give some treatment, he wouldn't see the light. So once he goes and does a treatment for this chancellor, he's executed. So that no one knows about the disease or no one knows about anything personal about this chancellor. Think about how much anxiety, how much insecurity such tyrants felt. So the more we want to enjoy, the more we have anxiety. So this is proportionate. We cannot do anything with this equation. And in this mentality, in this demoniac mentality, one thinks that I am the God. Ultimately, one thinks I am God. So this is the great problem. When I started thinking I am God, he was full of himself. Even the scientists, they consider themselves to be God sometimes. A few years back, again a news came that we have created artificial life. When if there is an article comes that, okay, there is artificial life, I read the entire article to find out whether there is artificial life or it is just jargons to attract people. You know, the media people, they know to put the right titles so that everyone reads the newspaper. So I read such an article and it came about that, of course, there was no artificial life. It was for one bacteria, one DNA was artificially created. That's all. One genome was created artificially. And then the whole article was published that it is all about artificial life. And they were claiming, we are playing God. So they are claiming, okay, we are all becoming God because now we can change things. But see the things in perspective. First of all, nobody has created life. Okay, that's the first thing. Second, there are how many species of life are there in this world? How many? 8 million? Okay, 8.4 million species of life. In that, one of the very, 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 very insignificant life form is bacteria. That too, one kind of bacteria. And in that, did anyone create bacteria from scratch, from chemicals? No. Just one genome was artificially created with watermarking, which is good. But from that, one is extrapolating without any limit that we have become God. So this is actually being insane. This is the demoniac mentality, which is present everywhere. I was speaking to Harshal Prabhu recently. He went for a very big international conference. You know, thousands of people were there in fluid dynamics. And one of the big professor, he said, regarding the fluid dynamics, regarding the aeroplanes, we have so much of data at this point that we are almost like God now in the plenary session. Plenary session means everyone is there in the conference. So this is being insane. So Srila Prabhupada really wanted to challenge this kind of mentality. That understand, see things in perspective, where we are. We cannot even fight death. We cannot even stop disease. Can we stop old age? Can we even stop nature call? Nothing. Still, people are, you know, claiming that we are God. So this is indeed demoniac mentality. Now here, if you see, generally the Vedic kings knew the importance of sacrifices. Yajna. Bali Maharaj, when he, okay, he usurped the position of Indra. Once he usurped the position of Indra, he became the heavenly king. Do you know what he did for the first time? What was his first action plan when he got the position of Indra? Anyone knows? He started performing yajnas, he started performing sacrifices. Because he knew very well that he has got the position of Indra, not in the rightful way, and to maintain the position of Indra, one has to perform sacrifices. So Bali Maharaj, even though he was a demoniac king, okay, of course he's a great devotee, but indeed he knew and he started performing sacrifices straight away. He knew that we had to have money in the bank account. So he need pious credit. So he immediately started. Even Hiranyakashipu, he knew the importance of sacrifices. That's why what he did, what was his action plan to destroy Vishnu? So he said, okay, I will go and take care of Vishnu. Meanwhile, all your demoniac assistants, you go to earth and you destroy all the sacrificial arenas, cut all the trees which produce fruits and vegetables. You destroy all the brahmanas And by that, kings will not have anyone to motivate to perform sacrifices. In this way, the sacrifices will not happen, and then the demigods will not get their oblations and they will become weak. So, see the strategic plan. He knew the importance of sacrifices. If there is sacrifices, demigods are going to get powerful, then they are going to fight. Now, they don't have any strength. And meanwhile, I will take care of Vishnu. And Vishnu also will become powerless because there is no glorification coming from the demigods. So, he had a strategic plan which is aimed to destroy the sacrifices. He knew the importance of sacrifice. And here, Vena is so foolish. He didn't know the importance of sacrifice. Right? He didn't know. And he was telling, okay, stop all the sacrifices. Indeed, if you read Bhagavatam, Vena is referred elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam as well. So here we are seeing the pastime of Vena. But in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam also, first chapter, Vena is referred. Yudhishthira Maharaj asks Narada Muni, Vena also performed all these demoniac activities. He was atheistic. Similarly, Shishupal was also demoniac and he was constantly blaspheming Krishna. We see that Shishupal attained salvation, Sayujya Mukti, whereas King Vena went to hell. Both were atheistic. Shishupal, great King Shishupal, he was atheistic and he was blaspheming Krishna from the childhood. When he came to know how to speak, you know, when we start speaking, you know, generally people, you know, the children, they start speaking for ma, you know, they start calling their mother. In the same way, when Shishupal started speaking, he was blaspheming Krishna. He was swearing at Krishna from the early childhood. Can you imagine what kind of impressions Shishupal was having? So Shishupal was blaspheming Krishna and he did such a nasty affair throughout his life. Still he got salvation, he got Sahaja Mukti. So Yudhishthira was amazed. So see the contrast in destination despite both being atheistic. So he asked Narada Muni, kindly explain, why is it so? In fact, the Lord is actually glorified for delivering Shishupal. Yamunacharya gives a comparison between Lord Ramachandra and Lord Krishna. He says, Lord Ramachandra is very merciful because one time Jayanta in the form of a cow attacked Mother Sita and actually tried to humiliate Mother Sita. Indeed, it's a humiliation to the universal mother who is Sita. Lord Ramachandra, knowing this, immediately was ready to kill this crow. Immediately. But the crow transformed to the original form and paid obeisances to Lord Ramachandra and asked for forgiveness. So Lord Ramachandra, he forgave and he said, okay, I will spare you, I will not kill you. And don't do this kind of activities anymore. So, Lord Ramachandra is glorified because offending Universal Mother, it is greatest of the mistakes. Still, he didn't kill him, he spared his life. But, now when it comes to Shishupal, it is mentioned, Pradipadam abaradhur mukdha sayujyado bhur vadakim apatam akadastasya kesti kshamaya. That is this Chaitya, this Shishupal, what he did? He was life after life, he was offending the Lord. And one lifetime as Shishupal, he was completely dedicated to blaspheme Krishna. Still, for such Shishupal, what Krishna gave? Mugdha Sayujyado Bhu. Mugdha means very attractive, great sages. They are after Sayujya Mukti to be one with the Supreme Lord. Mugdha Sayujyado Bhu. Still, you gave that Shishupal, Sayujya Mukti, liberation from the material clutches. So, apata magada stisya kesti kshamaya. So, is there any offense that you wouldn't forgive? This is the question to Lord Krishna. So this is the point that Krishna is so merciful that even if someone tries to kill him, still Krishna will give salvation. That is the speciality of Krishna, even in comparison to other incarnations of Krishna. So here, we mentioned about Vena. So what happened to Vena? Vena, of course, he didn't get any salvation, rather he went to hell. Whereas Shishupal went to the Sahijya Mukti, and later we know that he became an associate of the Lord. So here, when we see the situation, if you see the power and destination of Hiranyakashipu, if you see, there is a difference between Hiranyakashipu and Vena, because they go in parallel. Because in the past time we can see, they go in parallel. All these demons, they go in parallel in their activities. Did Vena perform any austerities? No, he didn't perform any austerities. He was a powerful king, but he didn't perform any austerities. And he didn't have any yogic power either. At the same time, Hiranyakashipu performed austerities. He indeed performed austerities to the degree that he was even more austere than Bhrigumuni. Can you imagine? Brahma, when he came, he was satisfied with Hiranyakashipu. He said, any of my sons, they also didn't perform so much austerity as you. So I have to give some boon. Actually, the whole world was burning because of the austerity of Hiranyakashipu. And Lord Brahma came down because of one reason. Because I want to stop this austerity, so I'll give a boon so that he will stop the austerity. That was the situation. So he came and, okay, I'm so satisfied. What do you want? Then he used his intelligence and he gives all the permutations and combinations he started giving. Not this, not that, in all the possibilities. Okay, I shouldn't be killed in this way, that way, inside, outside, by a weapon, by human beings, by any of your creations. Like that he was giving. Anything which is not created by you, you understand? All the combinations are covered. Still, the Lord killed, that's not a problem. So Brahma didn't even think. He said, Tathastu. No time to think. Okay, take it so that Brahma is like, you know, now I have to solve the problem. So I'll tell anything to solve the problem. Now, current problem, address first, later we will worry. This was the approach of Brahma. So Brahma said, okay, Tathastu, stop the austerities. Okay. Then Hiranyakashipu started terrorizing the whole world. At that, so he controlled everyone. Bhrigu, Narada, everyone at his control. So this was the universal affair. But Hiranyakashipu, he was powerful because he performed austerity. So here the point is, Yajna, Dana, Tapakriya, Pavanani, Madhinshinam, Bhagavad Gita says, the sacrifices and austerities, they are even purifying great personalities, Manishinam. So one should perform sacrifices, one should perform austerities, one should give things in charity, even if you are very elevated. Because yajna, danam and tapa are pavanani manishinam. It is purifying everyone. This is a very interesting and important point for all of us, because it is tapo divyam. Now, Bhrigu could burn King Vena, but Bhrigu couldn't burn Hiranyakashipu. No, none of the sages could burn Hiranyakashipu. So that was the power of Hiranyakashipu. So now, why is it so? Why is it so? So it is mentioned that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 7th canto, we can take a lesson from Vena that one shouldn't follow Vena. So 7th chapter is making this point, you know. Katapopi na Vena syat panchanam purishampadi tasmat kena upayena mana krishne niveshet. So it is mentioned, what was wrong with Kena, even though he was atheist, he differs from Hiranyakashipu, because in any of the 5 ways, Vena didn't fix his mind on Krishna. That was the problem with Vena. Whereas Shishupal and Hiranyakashipu, what did they do? They had absorption in Krishna, even though in an inimical way, still they had absorption in the form of Krishna. So this is the great difference between these two atheistic people, these two demons. One fixed the mind on Krishna and one didn't fix the mind on Krishna. So that made the difference in the destination. So it is mentioned, there's five ways. You know, gopis, they thought about Krishna, how? Out of lust, out of love. That lust is actually love. Gopya, kama, bhayat, sorry, bhayat kamsa. Bhayat kamsa, because out of fear, Kamsa was always thinking of Krishna. He saw Krishna as death personified. Then, dvesha chaidyadayo nrupaha. Dvesha, because of enmity, chaidya means Shishupal and other demons, they thought about Krishna with enmity. And sambandhat vishnaya snehat yuyam bhaktiya vayam vibho. And without, as a relation, in relationship, in familial relationship, vishnis, they thought about Krishna's out of love. And yuyam bhaktiya, and this, the Yudhishthir and all the Pandavas, they thought of Krishna out of sneha, out of loving affection. Whereas Narada Muni, bhaktiya vayam vipho. Vayam bhaktiya means I am worshipping the Lord according to sadhana bhakti. So here the point is, one may think of Krishna out of dvesha, out of enmity or out of fear. Still it is purifying. It is not recommended for the devotees. That's not considered bhakti. It's not considered loving devotion service. But still, even if one thinks of Krishna out of enmity or fear, still it is purifying. That is the message. So Vena didn't do that. Vena couldn't think of Krishna. He couldn't fix his mind on Krishna even out of enmity. So he had to go to hell. Whereas Hiranyakashipu and Chaidya, Shishupal, they could get liberation because they fixed their mind on Krishna. So here, Vishwanatha Chakur and other acharyas, they make the point that if someone can fix mind or if one can develop absorption in Krishna even out of enmity or fear, still they can get liberation. Then how about the devotees who can think of Krishna favorably? So the lesson that we can learn from Vena is that one should absorb mind in Krishna. So not out of enmity or fear, but out of some affection. So that is the lesson. So by doing that, one can easily get the mercy of the Lord. So here, we had to follow in the footsteps of Narada Muni. What is Narada Muni saying? Bhaktiya vayam. He performed sadhana bhakti. Narada Muni is telling, I performed sadhana bhakti, in that way I attained perfection. In the same way, the lesson for us is, instead of Vena not thinking of Krishna, or Shishupal and Hiranyakashipu inimically thinking of Krishna, or out of fear thinking of Krishna, rather we need to fix our mind on Krishna favorably using sadhana bhakti. Tatha kenapi upayena mana Krishne niveshet. And here the specific emphasis is given by the acharyas is that one should try to develop absorption in Krishna. What is that absorption? It is part of sadhana bhakti. Absorption means one has to feel for Krishna. When we are taking darshan of the deities, when we are attending arati, feel for Krishna. When we are studying Srimad Bhagavatam, it is not just a matter of cramming philosophy or just analyzing the flow of the chapter, of the theme or the philosophy. Rather, feel for Krishna. When we are chanting Krishna's names, feel for Krishna. Feel the presence of Krishna. This is the way we can make progress in our sadhana bhakti. So first is, be strict on sadhana bhakti. First thing is, be strict on sadhana bhakti. Okay, are we attending, are we getting enough inputs in sadhana bhakti, in terms of our mangalarati, in terms of our chanting, in terms of study of shastra, in terms of hearing, in terms of service? Are we getting enough dosage? That is the first thing to check. Then once we have the enough dosage, then one need to see what is actually going inside. Why am I doing what am I doing? Then we start making progress. So that is the conclusion. That is the conclusion that we need to try to develop absorption in Krishna. If we have a little bit of absorption in Krishna, then we can see that the effects of Maya is far less. Maya will retreat itself. The illusion will retreat itself.
when we are absorbed in Krishna.
So in conclusion, we can see that the Brahmanas are giving wise advices, but out of foolishness, Vena is rejecting all the advices, and he considered himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the resting place of all the demigods. And the Bhagavatam advises us not to follow Vena in any way. Bhagavatam doesn't advise or to follow Hiranyakashipu or Shishupal. Rather says, okay, use the mood of absorption of the enemies of Krishna and take it positively. Indeed, Narada Muni makes a statement in Srimad Bhagavatam, referring to all these demons. Indeed, I wish I had the same intensity of thinking of Krishna the way all these demons are doing. So he quotes all these great demons. In this enmity, they can think of Krishna so intensely. I wish I had the same absorption. So the learning point for us is we should try to get to a little bit of absorption at least. That will help us to go beyond Maya, which is very powerful. So I stop here and see if there are any questions or comments.
Thank you for a nice class. You were mentioning in the beginning of the class that often devotees, they change the external, but actually it's much more about the change in the internal. Then at the same time, there's also the passing of Gajendra. There's also the passing of Gajendra, who, you know, he didn't solve the problem by changing the internal.
Yes, the question is, we mentioned about changing the internal rather than changing the external, whereas Gajendra, in the Gajendra pastime, in the purport, it is mentioned about changing the externals in terms of the ashram, for example. So here, that changing of the external is based on the guidance of the spiritual master and other senior people, not based on our mind, just our mind. You understand? The Gajendra, it is mentioned, Gajendra, he was in water, so he was not in his natural habitat. So he couldn't fight against the crocodile because he's a land animal and now he's in water. Whereas crocodile being a water, aquatic species, he can be in both. He has very much strength in the water, he could fight vigorously against the Gajendra. And he was gaining strength by sucking the blood from the body of Gajendra. So here the point comes, we have external in terms of ashrams, we have to be placed in the ashram that which suits us. So there is a time in which one actually take guidance from the devotees and sees what one is go through, and one make a decision which ashram is suitable for oneself. So that is according to the guidance. It's not according to our independent decisions. And you know, I have seen brahmacharis wearing white, then wearing saffron, then again wearing white, then again wearing saffron, you know. That doesn't work. It has to take proper guidance, make a decision and stick to it. So it's a matter of the guidance. So that is not changing for, that is just fixing in one ashram. And then sthane sthita, be fixed and continue. That's all. Is that clear? Yeah.
Yeah. What about Putna?
Yeah.
He was giving deadly poisonous today. Yeah.
So in case of Putna, Krishna accepted the service given by her as the breast milk, the motherly affection. Lord Krishna accepted and gave her the position of a mother, a nurse in the spiritual world, even though she was killed, she was murdered, and she had pain while she was being killed. She was crying out loud and she couldn't even maintain her body. Yesterday I was reading the Putana pastime from Krishna book. So that's mercy of Krishna. Another example of Krishna's mercy. Right. Any final question? Okay, Madhuri.
You were telling that we should not see one as devotee.
Yes.
Even
yes.
But you see, like if some devotee is not helping you in spiritual progress, if you are associating with them, it's hindering your spiritual progress. How can we balance that?
Okay.
Even though we are not looking at them as enemies, but at the same time we want to avoid them.
Yeah. How to deal with if some devotees who are creating hindrances to our devotional service? For example, if some devotee is speaking nonsense, and in their they may be chanting, but predominantly their conversation is prajalpa, and we know that if we go to them, we'll hear prajalpa, and that is going to affect our consciousness. Then we can keep a distance. We don't see them as enemies. We understand that maybe they are going through some conditionings. If I can help, I can help. If not, I don't want to get afflicted by such kind of mentality. So keep a distance with respect.
Can that be offense, like
it's not an offense. You cannot be close to everyone in devotional service. We respect everyone. We don't see anyone as enemies or anything like that. But it doesn't mean that we can have very close relationship with everyone. Not possible. We cannot have close relationship with everyone. Not possible. It's not expected. But we will have few friends who are very close with. Others are friends, but in a distance. Everyone is a friend. Some may be at a distance. Nothing wrong in it. It's not an offense. But if you look at us, you know, don't turn the head and, you know, show faces. That can be an offense. But otherwise, it's okay. Okay? Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki jai.